Hi everyone, I'm Teresa, this is Kaylee, and we're very excited to be here. We are here to share information with you all about how we've been using the LENA system in our work with families of children with hearing loss. So what does the LENA system mean for a child with a hearing loss? Well, we all know about the information that the LENA system provides us with, and we all heard a lot about neuroplasticity of the brain in the birth to three age range. We're all familiar with that. We know that this is really the critical window for language learning, and that the language environment at this point in time plays a critical role in language outcomes. Essentially, the language that goes in is the language that comes out. So Kaylee and I, as early intervention practitioners, really feel a responsibility. We have a responsibility to capitalize on that critical window. So what we did, we actually received a generous grant and our program decided to use that money to purchase the LENA systems. And we felt like we had this wonderful technology, but how can we use it? How can we use it with families in mind in our daily intervention sessions for families of children with hearing loss?
And as Dana mentioned earlier, we feel like we're also on that team of translators. There's a lot of great research, and now we're trying to find a way to translate that information to be practical for the families that we work with. So we designed the Compass program, creating outcomes to maximize practical application of skills and strategies, beginning with assessment, followed by educating the families on strategies that will help them, implementing those strategies into their daily routines, and finally and ultimately achieving the goals that have been set forth for them in their individualized family service plans. And we tailored this project to the early intervention agency that we work with, that we work for in New Jersey. And our population varies in cultural background, socioeconomic status, language, and family dynamic.
So what we did was we chose research-based strategies. Although we aren't researchers, we're clinicians, all of our practice is evidence-based practice. So we chose four specific strategies to use with families. You can see them listed here. There's expansion and extension. I know most of us are familiar with these, so I won't go through all of them. You can read about them here. But expansion and extension, auditory bombardment, self-talk, and following the child's lead. We really felt that those four strategies were a good number for the group with which we were working, and we also felt that they were strategies that could be easily implemented for families that had children in that birth to three age range.
We're from a small early intervention agency dealing with only children with a hearing loss, so we set out to do a small pilot study to test out our project. Our participants included six families of children with a hearing loss, and their degree ranged from mild to profound. Each child uses some sort of assistive listening technology ranging from a Baha, hearing aids, cochlear implants, and at the start of the pilot, the children were ages 12 to 23 months. We developed a procedure beginning with a pre-survey and collecting baseline data using the LENA, and the information we gathered from these two tools was the directive we used to choose a strategy to start working with the family, and we chose one of the four strategies Teresa mentioned earlier. We took our one-on-one sessions with the family in their homes. We took that time to model the strategy for them, coach them on practicing the strategy during our sessions, and then left them with some material so they could continue to implement the strategy when we weren't there. And this time frame would sometimes last weeks or maybe a month, depending on the family. And then when they were comfortable and we were comfortable that they had gained a level of competence, we moved on to another strategy and did the LENA again to track any changes that occurred once we went over the first strategy. And to get some interesting information for this presentation in particular, we did a post-survey. We're not completely finished yet, but we wanted to see if there was any changes from the pre-survey to the post-survey.
So this here is just a little clip of the pre-survey that Kaylee mentioned that we used with families. The top just has the background information, pertinent information about the specific child and family. And then what we did was we developed eight questions, essentially two questions per strategy. One question related to how familiar the family was with that strategy, knowledge of that strategy, and another question related to how often they were using that strategy, how frequently they were implementing that strategy already, naturally. And of course, we tried to word our questions in a way that they weren't biased or leading.
Next, we're going to show you a short clip of how we would model a strategy with the family, and you can see in this short time how using one of these particular strategies can automatically increase conversational turns and child vocalizations.
We're working on extension and expansion, so trying to take what Christian says and add words to it to model next level language. The mommy! The mommy's climbing on the wall.
Mommy's wall.
Mommy's on the wall.
The baby.
The baby wants to go up.
Up.
Yeah, the baby wants to go up.
Baby up.
That's right. The baby wants to go up.
In addition to modeling the strategy with the family in person, we created a handout for each strategy to leave the family with something. We know, you know, we're therapists, we do this every day, but these families, it's overwhelming in an hour time period to hear all these things you're supposed to be doing to help your child. So we wanted a parent-friendly piece of information that they could hold on and refer to when we weren't there, including a parent-friendly explanation of the strategy, major bullet points to keep in mind when using the strategy, and finally examples of how we could use that strategy in play.
So our findings, and again, we are still in the midst of working on this, but what we've seen so far, we've seen some really great results. As you can see here, 66% of the group that we worked with demonstrated increases in adult word count, 50% demonstrated increases in child vocalizations, and 66% demonstrated increases in conversational turns. So we really felt that for those families, they were motivated by the LENA. They enjoyed seeing the progress week to week. They enjoyed seeing the changes in the bar graphs. And they had a good grip on those strategies and how to implement them. For two of the families that were in our group, they did remain static across those measures. And we are hypothesizing about why that might have happened. Two of the things that come to mind is simply they needed more time. They needed more time with that strategy. Or perhaps our pre-survey, which we used to select the strategies that we were starting with that family, perhaps that pre-survey wasn't an effective tool in choosing which strategy to start with. And then you can see here, this is just a chart representing the changes that we saw across each recording per child based on the three measures that the LENA provides us with. I'm going to give you a second to take a look at it. We are excited to see how those numbers change over the fourth recording, fifth recording, and so on.
One aspect of the LENA that we found to be extremely helpful with the specific population that we work with was the ability to monitor a child's audio environment. We know that turning the TV off can be important for all children in this birth to three age range, but what does it mean for a child with a hearing loss? When you have to listen through background noise, listen through a TV, it just adds to the difficulty that a child with a hearing loss is going through when they're trying to listen. As you can see with this particular child, in our baseline recording, there was a lot of TV watching going on, and we found that simply telling the parents to turn off the TV made a huge impact. You can see the yellow definitely decreased there, so we were very happy to see that change.
And by turning off the TV, what we saw automatically for our population were increases in adult word count, child vocalizations, and conversational turns. I don't think that's surprising to anyone here, but that's surprising to families. They don't necessarily expect that, but when they see that visually on the LENA measures, they get it, and then they're more motivated to do that again.
Another trend we found in our data was the huge impact of adult word count. We found when the adult spoke more, the child was motivated to speak more, which increased the child vocalizations, and then that also created more turn-taking. I think that when we're looking at the strategies we use to implement with the families, which strategies boost adult word count? If we can use those strategies to boost adult word count, it's kind of a domino effect and you kind of boost everything else. And also, I know we talked about this a little bit before, but the conversational turns indicate that both people are talking. So the conversational numbers are actually more powerful than I think we originally expected them to be. It just shows that two parties are working together to communicate.
So going forward, we had a couple, we have many thoughts, but a couple that we have time to share with you today. One is just the LENA as a motivating factor. We found, as I mentioned earlier, the families were very motivated by how they did. Did we fail the LENA? Did we pass the LENA? How did we do? Did we do better? So they wanted to know how they did. And having that visual reinforcement with the bar graphs helped them gauge how they were doing week to week, and it helped them buy into it a little bit more because they were seeing the fruits of their labor right there on paper. We also felt that the visual component of having that Lena on, the family was seeing the Lena there, it was a visual reminder that the family should be doing these strategies throughout the day. Of course, we want to make sure that that happens every day, not just on the days when the Lena is being used. And going forward for our methodology of how to use this curriculum and Compass program with families, we're looking at using more videos, and one in a way to model the strategy and coach the strategy, have the family do the strategy together, and then the family and the therapist can watch it afterwards. And that it's a way for the parent to see, oh, okay, this went well, this is an area that I need to work on a little bit more. So it's good for parent feedback. And then also we'll have those videos over time, so at the completion of the Compass program, the family and the therapist can watch the beginning videos and see firsthand how things have progressed and improved.
Another topic of conversation that we heard a lot about today was the huge impact that different caregivers and different environments can have on the Lena recording and research. We want to make sure that we educate all members that are working with the child. So usually in our home sessions, there's one go-to parent that's usually there for all the sessions, and maybe another parent's at work or can't be there, or sometimes another parent doesn't live with that child. So using the videos, as Teresa said, and leaving a lot of materials for the families to make sure that everyone that works with the child is on the same page. And not only comparing home environments to daycare or other environments, we have a lot of children that spend some days of the week with grandma and some days of the week, so it's still home, but it's different because a different person is facilitating that environment. And additionally, as I said, auditory environment seemed to be a huge, huge part of our study. So creating a specific handout, a fifth strategy, just an auditory environment, turn that TV off, why it's important. And giving the parents a little more background information on the huge connection, like we said before, about the brain and language development and why talking is important. Once you explain that to a family, I think they're more open to getting why those specific strategies help talk. So if you get why talk is important, you'll get why increasing the amount of talking is important. And ultimately, our goal, as Teresa stated before, is to gather information that could be helpful for other people who are out there working with the children and the families, and being able to use this Lena in their day-to-day work with families. So we hope that as we gather more information, we can share that with others, other agencies, other therapists, and hopefully make a difference in more children's lives.
So we'll leave you with this final thought we heard earlier about the 30 million word gap. Will children with hearing loss experience a similar word gap? Children with hearing loss require 3 times the exposure to learn new words and concepts due to a reduced acoustic bandwidth. Thank you all very much. If there's any questions.
We have about 2 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, suggestions, we're open to any of those things. Still a work in progress.
We've gotten some really good ideas, though, just already so far.
Did what affect the performance?
Either the degree of hearing loss or the activity of CI or how long they had.
So the question was about how the amplification degree of loss, those factors impacted our results. Did I get that right? Okay. We, just from what we've looked at in our group, we have found that regardless of the degree of loss and regardless of the amplification, we saw the same results, which was really nice. It was encouraging to see that. The areas where they differed, where there's the two that remain static, I think were a little bit more related to the limited time and practice with that strategy, more so than the technology that was used.
Yes.
I agree completely about the television in terms of turning it off. For those parents that maybe have difficulty interacting with their kids, do you see any role for, like, you know, I think of 2 examples of TV shows in which people have a running commentary, sports events and American Idol. Everybody's always talking as the TV's on, and that might be sort of a place where a parent struggles to sort of have a one-on-one conversation with the child. Maybe it's training them how to do that, so that then they can move into situations where the TV is just off.
Well, it's funny that you say sportscaster. We always give the families the analogy. We want you to be the sportscaster in the child's life. So turn the TV off, use these strategies, and talk out loud about what's going on. Narrate it as if you are the sportscaster.
Also, yeah, really quick, Pat made a good point earlier about a TV in a conversation we had, is that sometimes that's a good leeway for parents. If it's not turning the TV off all the time, it's how can you talk while the TV's on to help make that connection for families. Thank you so much,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you very much.